Hi, I'm Nora Cavani, and this is Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, your trusted source on child gut health, brought to you by Alba Health, live on the UK Health Radio. Thousands of studies now link a child's gut health to common symptoms like colic, constipation, and eczema, as well as to long-term health risks like allergies, asthma, and obesity. In each episode, I speak with global experts and scientists to explore the latest research on children's nutrition, gut health, and well-being. Let's dive into the science.
Did you know that your gut can influence your weight, metabolism, and your risk for conditions like diabetes, high cholesterol, and obesity? Today, we're diving into one of the most exciting discoveries in gut health, a microbe called Akkermansia muciniphila, often referred to as a superbacterium for metabolic health. It's been linked to better blood sugar control, reduced inflammation, and protection against weight gain. And here's the best part. Today, we're joined by the very scientist who discovered Akkermansia, Professor Emeritus Willem de Vos. In today's episode, we'll dive deep into what makes Akkermansia so unique, its vital role in our gut, and what current research tells us about its impact on metabolism, immunity, and overall health. I'm your host, Nora Cavani, and welcome to Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids. Back in 1998, Professor de Vos was among the group of scientists who discovered that different people have a unique gut microbiome and that it is a critical contributor to health.
Willem, we're so excited to have you here to unpack the science behind this remarkable bacterium. Let's get started right from the beginning. What exactly is Akkermansia muciniphila and why is it so important for our gut?
Thank you for the questions. I mean, Akkermansia muciniphila is a very specialized symbiotic bacterium that is present in the gut microbiome of healthy subjects. We find it in relative amounts of about 1 to 3% in adults, and it makes it one of the most abundant single genera which are present in our adult microbiome. But in contrast to other gut microbes that use the leftovers of our food, Akkermansia grows on mucus, a product that we make ourselves. So basically, we feed this organism.
Okay, that's very interesting. So most bacteria thrive on fiber and on the food that we eat, but this one grows on mucus, so something that we produce ourselves. And how does Akkermansia affect gut health and the microbiome?
Yeah, as I said, we feed Akkermansia, but we only would do this when there's an advantage. Therefore, it's also a symbiotic bacteria, because we found that Akkermansia communicates with us and tells us it's there as a harmless symbiont, and it increases our barrier and immune function. Other bacteria that would eat mucus cannot do that, and our body tries to get rid of it. So it has this very special function. We have unraveled this all in molecular detail and identified a specific protein that decorates the outside of Akkermansia and on its own already improves barrier function because it interacts with a specific receptor. So the production of this protein is the language Akkermansia is using to communicate with us. But the result is that Akkermansia prevents the leaky gut and provides benefits associated with this, such as the reduction of type 2 diabetes, obesity or weight gain, or even irritable bowel syndrome. In mice models, we even have seen that Akkermansia improves autoimmune diseases like asthma, inflammatory bowel disease, or type 1 diabetes.
Okay, that's very interesting. So basically, Akkermansia is a bacterium. It has some proteins on its surface, and these proteins are very important because they help the gut barrier, the immune system, metabolic health. So it seems to have many health benefits. Why is that? Why is it so different and what makes it stand out from other bacteria?
Yeah, it's the only gut that really grows on mucus, and in return it talks to us and reinforces our barrier and immune function. We also found it in virtually all animals we looked at, so varying from the reindeer to the elephant. So it's evolutionary conserved. And therefore, we also found very similar experimental results that shows increasing the barrier function in not only human, but also mice, dogs, and even zebrafish.
Mm. That's so interesting. And how do we produce this mucus? Where does it come from?
Well, actually, mucus is protecting our mucosal cells in our body, in our intestine. And it's the lining of our mucosal layer. And it's essential to have it, but we want to recycle it. And therefore, Akkermansia is needed to do so. But it's a good bacterium, it's a symbiont, and therefore it tells us that Akkermansia is there, and not other bacteria that also could grow on mucus, but don't have that special symbiotic and beneficial function.
And how did you and your team discover it? Because it seems to be pretty special.
Yes, when I started to work on the microbiome in the late 90s, I did a lot of reading. I found that some people actually in the UK calculated that the amount of microbes in our stool could not only come from the leftovers of our food, so like you said, the fibers. It was actually suggested that mucus and maybe other components could be responsible for additional microbial growth. So there would be a missing link. Therefore, I set out to isolate bacteria that could grow on mucus, and in my lab in Wageningen. And Muriel Derian, the PhD student involved in the project, found Akkermansia to do this.
That's great. So you basically, there was a moment where you found out that you discovered a new type or a new bacterium that behaves differently from the other ones. Out of curiosity, how did you come up with the name?
Yeah, it was actually named after Dr. Anton Akkermans. He's a well-known professor of microbial ecology in my lab, and he was about to retire. And we thought it would be appropriate to as a present because he was an excellent scientist and a stimulating personality. And of course, the Muscinifilla that is later on added to the Akkermansia is an obvious term because it means mucus loving.
That's very nice that it actually comes from the name of a person. So that's great. And this discovery was revolutionary, right? Because this bacterium seems to have very, very important functions for our health. So it seems like Akkermansia is associated with immune regulation. How does it support the immune system?
The major one, it stimulates regulatory T cells. And it does that also via the protein that you just mentioned that decorates its cell envelope. This protein actually interacts with toll-like receptor 2, and that sets on a number of a cascade of reactions that also involves the immune system.
Would you say that having more Akkermansia or having Akkermansia can help the immune system and is beneficial for the immune system?
Definitely.
That's really, really interesting. And how does Akkermansia contribute to metabolic health? It seems to have a lot of benefits for that as well.
Yeah, this toll-like receptor 2 is the receptor for this protein MK1100. And having this interaction with the receptor also increased the expression of so-called disjunction proteins. Disjunction proteins that actually closes the junction, the space between our intestinal cells. And in this way, it improves the barrier function. And toxic components that are always that are present in our guts, they cannot enter the body anymore. So they cannot give inflammation, other deleterious effects in the body. And that's the basis of the protection that Akkermansia give in terms of metabolic health.
Okay, that's interesting. So maybe let me try to recap here. So the gut barrier is very important because it controls what gets absorbed into our body and into our bloodstream. And it seems like sometimes the gut barrier cells can be a bit separated. There can be like tiny little holes there. And that's called leaky gut. So that's when molecules actually pass through and get absorbed where they shouldn't. So it seems like Akkermansia could help that. So make sure that the cells are very tight and the gut barrier is well functioning. Is that what you mean?
Correct. And one of the toxins that I'm alluding to is a molecule called LPS, which lipopolysaccharides, which are always present in our gut and in our food. That actually may enter the body and cause harm. And also, not only leads to inflammation in the gut, but also if it's in the bloodstream, gives inflammation in the body, can lead to obesity and other harmful effects. And the fact that you close the barrier actually means that this LPS cannot enter the body anymore. We have seen that in our trials in animals, but also in humans. And that means that really the barrier function is essential in terms of preventing toxic compounds to enter the body.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What could be associated with leaky gut and with this LPS molecule being in a bloodstream?
Actually, it all has to do with inflammation. So it's diabetes, it's obesity, but also high cholesterol and hypertension also are all linked to this kind of inflammation.
Okay. And so having high levels of acromantia is associated with lower weight, lower risk of diabetes, of obesity, of high cholesterol and hypertension. Is that right? And do we know, is that why? Is that the mechanism?
But the barrier function is the key mechanism. Preventing these toxic molecules to enter the body prevents this inflammation and all the effects I just mentioned. So the barrier is essential. And like I said, it doesn't have only a effect in the gut itself, but also in our systemic health.
Great. So, and it is right that it's associated with all of these metabolic benefits, right?
Right.
And is the opposite also true? So having low acromantia or no acromantia, is that associated with being less desirable?
Well, this protective function is not present there. And indeed, the body doesn't know that acromantia is there. It doesn't tell the body that they can, you know, anyway, close the barrier. So it's open also to fight off potential other bacteria that can use mucus and cause harm. So therefore, it's not desirable to have it in low levels.
Yeah. Could it be compensated in other ways?
Yes. We can add acromantia, for instance. We have done mouse trials, and also human trials, especially with Professor Patrice Cani from Brussels, where we saw that adding acromantia increases the barrier function and protects against this obesity and pre-diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Let me get back to that topic in a second. I think that's very interesting on what can actually be done to increase acromantia. I wanted to also ask you, just anecdotally, we know that some people put on weight more easily or struggle with cholesterol or blood sugar more easily than others. Could acromantia be part of the explanation of this?
It's possible. Of course, I can't look at all the cases, but in general, when we look at people that have obesity or have high cholesterol, they have a reduced level of achromantia. So that's the association we find. And the causality that we showed is in the preclinical models, but also in the human trials, where we see that addition of achromantia, so increasing the level of achromantia, really helps to have the protection against these conditions.
Right. And you've done several clinical trials also in human and also published in Nature Medicine, showing that supplementing with achromantia have a lot of different health benefits. What health benefits are they?
Well, again, here we used obese subjects which were at risk for type 2 diabetes, so had pre-diabetes. And we saw a reduction of insulinemia, so glucose levels, insulin levels, also cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and also weight. And we have recently completed the trial where we even see that weight maintenance is promoted with achromantia. So when you have lost weight, it's almost the yo-yo effect, and the problem is to maintain weight. But if you take achromantia, it really helps you to maintain the low weight and don't regain the weight that otherwise you would get.
Wow. And is Achromantia muciniphila present in children's gut too? When does it start to be detected?
Yeah, we see it already in the first months. Actually, it's there from the beginning. But this level increases over time, especially because it's not only growing on mucus, but also it can use some of the human milk oligosaccharides, which are present in breast milk. So we promote it already in early life to be there.
Okay. And we know that the gut microbiome is even, or could be even more important in children because of their development phase. Could achromantia have an effect on child development, maybe metabolism as well?
Yeah, I think it's really important for the child to have this because it increases gut barrier function. And one of the hypotheses we have is that when the teething starts after around 6 months, we see a really increase in its levels. Probably because mucus is produced, because, you know, when children get teased, there's more mucus production. But I think it's also an important phase in the development, because at that time, we need a good barrier, because solid food starts to be used, and more protection is needed. So we promote it grows by mucus, but we maintain its presence with the human milk oligosaccharides in the breast milk. So it's we actually safeguard that achromantia is never lost when it has been colonizing after birth.
Okay. And so we see that some people, both children and adults, have high level of achromantia, while some have low levels. Why could that be? What are the factors that affect this?
Well, we don't know actually all of that, but it could also be diet. It also can be that you didn't get it from from your mother. So that's a problem. But often it's diet, lifestyle, which may affect it. We have seen that it also can be stimulated in some cases.
What can we do to support achromantia in our gut? Are there any specific foods or types of diet that can promote it?
Yeah, we have seen in human, but also in mouse models, that some polyphenols like those present in cranberries also and other foods are increasing the abundance of achromantia. And also, like I also said before, human milk oligosaccharides, including those that contain fructose, a special sugar, selectively promote the growth of achromantia. We also recently found that cranberry polyphenols bind iron. Iron is a molecule, is a metal that we need, and achromantia then takes it up. And in this way, achromantia outcompetes pathogens that also need iron for virulence. And in this way, achromantia provides a special layer of protection, and that may be also important for early life.
Okay, interesting. So cranberries could help there.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Can other gut bacteria affect Akkermansia as well? We know that the gut microbiome is an ecosystem, so everything affects each other. Do we know that?
Yeah, actually, we only see mainly an effect of polyphenols that are present in fruits and vegetables. We have not seen specific lifestyle effects because you probably need more time for that. And most of the trials are, you know, very short. But you know that in obese people, the level of Akkermansia is reduced versus in lean people. But as of interest is that some of the sportsmen that have been studied in Ireland, especially rugby players, were found to have a higher level of Akkermansia.
Okay, so it could be potentially that that exercise helps, yes, which we know affects the gut microbiome positively anyhow. Can it also be taken as supplements?
Yes, indeed. For adults, there are special supplements on the market. This is the so-called pasteurized Akkermansia mucinifera. That's heat inactivated, but it retains the signaling capacity because this protein, this AMQ1100, is heat stable. This discovery was made already some time ago, and it's actually helped to make, produce a safe and shelf-stable product. It's also good to mention that Akkermansia, like many organisms in the gut, is an anaerobic bacterium that in the presence of oxygen, is losing its growth capacity. So in this way, we made a product that cannot grow, but is active. And in all human trials I discussed, we performed this. We used the pasteurized Akkermansia. And that pasteurized Akkermansia is also approved by the European Food Safety Authority.
That's great. So basically the bacterium in this product is killed and it's not active, but the proteins around it are still They're there, so they do their function.
Yeah, it's active, but it doesn't grow anymore.
It doesn't grow, right. And the proteins work and have that function. And most importantly, you've done clinical trials showing that people taking this product have these health benefits. Is that the only product that has these kind of studies?
Yes, it's the only product that has the studies in Europe. Yeah.
That's great. And what about FMT, so fecal microbiota transplant? You worked a lot with FMT. You've been one of the pioneers and one of the first scientists doing studies with FMT. Do we know if it could be a way to increase Akkermansia? Of course, it's not something that is available to people right now.
Yeah, I think we do that in early life because we talk about how we get our microbes. We get our microbes from our mother. And in a way, that's one large FMT. We have actually mimicked that in cesarean section babies that do not have this easy transfer of the mother. And when we treat those with a maternal FMT, then we can see that they develop in that in the babies, the microbiota and the babies develop like they were vaginally born. So actually, early life is already giving Akkermansia and many other bacteria that we need in order to have a healthy life. And that comes from the mother And that's a fecal microbial transplant. Now, can we do that also later on? Yes, in certain conditions you can consider it, but it's a special procedure that has to be done under supervision of a medical doctor.
Exactly. And what if the mother doesn't have akkermansia? Then in that case, it wouldn't be passed.
That's correct. There's a little chance that the father also has a role. We have to study that in detail, and there's an effect of the microbiota of the father. We can see also barcodes from the father being detected in the newborns. One way to make sure that akkermansia is there is that the mother is using the fibers and the polyphenols are just indicated in order to boost the level of akkermansia.
So if we're thinking, especially for our audience, there's a lot of parents in our audience, they will be wondering, are there ways to nurture akkermansia for my child? Then basically it's important that the mother already is taking care of her akkermansia and has that, so it's passed through birth. I guess C-section then would be something that could negatively affect akkermansia, prevent this transmission potentially.
Yes, we know that C-section prevents the transmission for various reasons. There's less contact with the mother, but there's also use of antibiotics that sometimes also are coming into the baby. But it hooks up later. So, of course, there is still akkermansia and C-section born babies because they're also colonized later, not only in the very beginning of after birth. But we can promote that all by having a healthy lifestyle of the mother and eating fruit and vegetables. And I think similar advice can be given to the children.
And you mentioned that human milk oligosaccharides, which are in breast milk, could boost akkermansia. So does it mean that breastfeeding could help?
Correct. Yeah, correct. I think it's one of the reasons that akkermansia can grow on human milk oligosaccharides is that it is not going to be lost. Not many people can do, not many bacteria can do that. So it's very specialized. Only a handful can use this on human milk oligosaccharides. And it's important to know that akkermansia is one of them. It doesn't outgrow in a high level like a bifidobacterium in early life, but it's maintained. And I think that's important because it's one of our symbionts we want to keep.
Human milk oligosaccharides also exist as supplements. I've taken them myself. Could they help in adults to boost akkermansia?
It's possible. I haven't seen it being really promoting because maybe other bacteria can use it too, but it's possible.
And could antibiotics instead affect akkermansia negatively?
Yes, we know that akkermansia is sensitive to most antibiotics, special beta-lactam and microlite antibiotics. And actually, in one study in preschool kids in Finland, we found that a reduced level of akkermansia was associated with the use of microlite antibiotics and also then led to an increased BMI.
Okay, so potentially it could be a discussion with a doctor of which antibiotics should be used. So you mentioned that akkermansia could also have a role on how much we can maintain a healthy weight. What do we know about that?
Yeah, we don't know much. We did one trial, which we just completed, actually, with Professor Alan Black in Maastricht. And there we see that that people that have lost weight, we give them a low-calorie diet, and they lose about 10 kilograms of weight. And then in the maintenance phase, we give either placebo or pasteurized akkermansia. And then we can see that the ones in the pasteurized akkermansia group don't regain weight as much as in the placebo group. And actually, we can look at it, and some of them only get a very little amount of weight. So there's a way to really help people to maintain a healthy weight. And that's especially not only the case, I think, when you lose weight in a special low-cal diet, but it may also be that you could help people that are, for instance, on Ozempic or other, I would say, GLP-1 agonists that nowadays are popular and people lose weight from. But the problem is when you stop it, you gain weight. to prevent the regain of that weight, acromantia can play an important role. And the simple reason is that it increases the barrier friction. So it prevents, again, the weight gain because of these toxic compounds I just explained cannot enter the body anymore and cause inflammation. So it's a very simple mechanism, but it's also a very elegant way to maintain your weight on a healthy level.
That's fantastic. It seems like it goes to the root cause of the problem and it can really support weight and metabolic health really at its root cause. So starting from the gut function.
Correct. And they're all together. I mean, they're all linked. I mean, we talked separately about immune function or metabolic function, but actually in many cases, those are linked together. It's not a one. You can separate, of course, obesity, but obesity is also an inflammation. So in a way, it's all linked together, this metabolic health and immune health.
Great. Perfect. Is there anything we could do to boost our mucus production? And could we think that if we boosted, acromantia would also be boosted?
Yeah, it's a good question, whether we can boost acromantia by boosting mucus production. I think the answer is yes, but I'm not sure whether it's so healthy. We have seen instances that have been reported in the literature that people used specific treatments where they have had very high levels of acromantia in the gut, up to 60-70%. But those were usually patients that have had specific antibiotic courses. So I'm not sure whether, and there has also more mucus production. So I'm not sure whether it is always so healthy to do it. And I think using the approaches I just indicated by having fruits and fibers that stimulate that contain polyphenols and stimulate acromantia may be the best way to proceed. We have seen also that in some trials where people were giving some treatments that mucus production was affected, but actually in response to damage in the gut, because the gut wants to get rid of molecules that damage and produces then more mucus. And then as a consequence, acromantia is also increasing. But it's not the cause of the problems. It tries to restore the capacity of the gut to be resilient, and acromantia grows as a consequence. So it's not the cause of the events, it's a consequence. And I think it's important to discriminate between the treatments that stimulate mucus production or the ones that stimulate acromantia growth.
Fantastic. I think we've been through a lot in this episode on acromantia, how important it is. And it's such an incredible discovery. So thank you so much, Willem, for taking us through this topic.
Excellent. Thank you.
I'm Nora Cavani, and thank you for joining me on Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, live on UK Health Radio. This episode was brought to you by Alba Health. We analyze your child's gut health, provide personalized nutrition plans and coaching for the best start in life. We are the first and only company with a large clinical study on child gut health, and our team counts over 1,600 scientific publications in this topic. We translate this complex science into simple, personalized actions for families. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.